Eventually, we heard rustling up on the bank, as if something was brushing through the trees. I shone my flashlight accordingly to where the sounds were coming from, and I really wish I hadn't. Most people think nature is pretty straightforward. Flora, fauna, it just does its thing like it always has. But did you know that in the last 10 years, at least 10 mammals have been discovered? Nature is always changing and churning out adaptations. And therein lies the gap. Science depends on absolutes, but what happens when things exist that we can't define? When we see things we can't show others? When we experience things we can't make others understand? Well, that gets thrown into the unexplained file, where tonight's stories are from. Welcome to another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
Growing up, I usually have weird experiences or unexplained events happen to me. A lot of these events I've pushed aside years after, not really thinking about what really happened. I'm usually skeptical to a lot of things, but I'd like to believe that there's something out there. Here's one of them that I can't really explain. I was about 16 in my junior year of high school when this happened. I lived in a small neighborhood among townhomes, and a block away from it was a park. It was a warm Friday in May, and I happened to be taking a short jog right after school at my usual route. There seemed to be no one else at the park that day. No younger kids, no usual baseball games going on. As I finished my jog, I made my way back to the entrance of the park. There happened to be a bench near the entrance, and sitting on the bench was an old African-American man wearing a tan trench coat and a flat cap reading the newspaper. He appeared to be in his 50s or 60s. Understanding that it was a hot day in the season, this confused me at the time. I was tired and I decided to sit down and try starting a conversation with the man. Note, my town was fairly small in population, about 12,000, and so not a lot of crime happens, and when it does happen, it's usually underage kids drinking or petty crimes. So I wasn't really scared of the whole stranger situation. I struck up a conversation with the man. It was pretty normal as it gets. Beautiful day. Anything interesting in the papers? Yada yada yada. But then he asked me a peculiar question. He asked me,
"Why are you at the park on such a rainy day?"
Like I said, it was May at the time and we haven't had rain in weeks.
"What do you mean? It's lovely out," I chuckled. "If you say so,"
the man said as he continued to fuddle through the pages of the newspaper. I got up, said my goodbyes, and I remember walking towards the entrance. Now, here's the weird part. I remember waking up gasping for air on a patch of grass in the park, with rain heavily pouring down, my running clothes and shoes completely soaked in water. I get up slowly, trying to fathom what happened. I never fall asleep in the park, and I remember the exact time I went to the park, 3:30 p.m. I check my phone, 4:30 p.m. Same date and everything. My jog is usually 45 minutes to an hour, so I would usually head back home right after. I ran back home, and when I arrived, I wrung out the water of my t-shirt and shorts. My parents came back home from work around an hour later. When they arrived, my dad asked, "How was your run? Beautiful day to go to the park." "Good, I guess, but it rained down," I hesitantly replied.
No, my dad chuckled. It was sunny all day at work. My dad works in town, so I believe his statement was correct. I told my parents what happened, and they weren't really sure how to respond. We just continued the day normally right after. I texted my friends to ask what they think happened, and they didn't really have an answer either. In the end, I don't think the man did anything to me, and I don't think I fell asleep at the park at all. I just can't explain who that man is. Was he more than just human? Hey guys, quick reminder, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by leaving a review and sharing us with your friends. Thank you. The following is a true experience and happened to me over 5 months ago as of writing this. I'm still in debate what to think about the whole thing, so here goes. So I'm a teenager and was on camp in Wales with my school. We were camping in part of the Brecon Beacons National Park, which was full of pine trees and huge mountains. We arrived on a 3-hour coach drive where I sat next to this girl whose name isn't important as of now. Once we arrived, our first activity was putting up our tents. Luckily for my friends, I go camping all the time, so we put up the tent in about 15 minutes, much faster than the rest of the groups. We waited and talked about how surrounding the campsite was a train track which was in use, and miles of forest surrounding a huge reservoir that supposedly had the remains of an old village at the bottom. Once we had all finished putting up our tents, we crossed the road opposite the campsite and walked into a steep part of the pine forest. The trees were moderately thick with thin branches trailing upwards. This is kind of important for later. We started with some team building exercises like holding a rope so one of us could walk on it, etc. Me and my friend John noticed a deeply cut pentagonal shape carved into one of the bigger pines. This seemed like it had been recently carved and that it may have been part of a previous activity. We ignored this and continued to play the games that were set. I'll skip the rest of the story until the parts that are important. One of the evenings, me and my friends went back down to the forest by the reservoir to explore a little since we didn't have any activities set at the time. When we arrived in the forest, we talked and took some photos since the sun was just setting and the lighting was great. When we were reviewing the photos, we noticed another carving into one of the trees. This one was shaped like a cross, but had more patterns on it than I struggle to describe. The carving was about an inch deep and wasn't just carved with a knife. Tree sap was spilling out of it still, so it wasn't that old. We decided it was kind of strange and searched for more of them on the trees. When we regrouped, we had come back with photos of at least 7 more. Some were large and some were quite small, but nonetheless, they were definitely creepy. They looked like the sort of thing that a cult would do, or a sort of ritual. We were freaked out, so we took some clearer photos and walked back to camp. Fast forward 2 days later when we had pretty much forgotten about the whole thing. We had a canoeing activity on the reservoir, and to get to the reservoir we had to go down through the forest. It's not like we were alone or anything since we were with adults and everyone else. We decided to check again just to be sure we hadn't missed any of them since it was dark out, and sure enough there were more. However, the ones we had just found were, by the looks, brand new. Sap was just starting to come out of the cuts and inside the tree was still freshly green. Freaked out, we took photos and wandered back to the groups as if we never left. After the day of canoeing, which was slightly brutal since we had to do activities whilst canoeing,
He headed back up to camp to dry off and shower, etc. After I showered, I walked back up to our tent, which was right at the end of the long campsite. My friend, the girl who sat next to me on the couch, Lily, joined me along the way since she had nothing else to do, and I told her about the carvings and the photos. And she told me that she was sitting with a bunch of the others and they saw at least three people wandering around the bank next to the campsite, which was divided by a fence and a train track. The three people, she presumed they were male, were dressed in black everything. She saw them and walked back to the group of people she was with. When they all walked back to see the men, they were gone. That, you might think, should be the end of the story, however, I can assure you it isn't. One night around 11 p.m., me and two of my friends who were sharing a tent with me were walking through the field towards our tent at the end, and we were passing the train tracks that run alongside the narrow field. A moment later, I heard something that resembled rocks falling down the bank onto the train tracks. We looked up to see nothing apart from trees tightly linked together. We looked at each other and then we heard more sounds. They were sounds of trees rustling and rocks tumbling down the bank. The sounds didn't sound intentional, as if by accident. But when rocks came rushing down the grass bank, colliding with the rocks on the train tracks at full force, we knew they were no longer accidental. All three of us practically sprinted along the field back to the dining hall where everyone was talking, playing cards, on their phones, etc. When we burst through the door, we told the camp leaders and anyone else that was listening openly about everything. And the leaders followed us outside to where we heard the noises. In fact, everyone came outside, which resulted in a mess of flashlight beams in the darkness. One of the leaders, named Sam, told us to turn our flashlights off, apart from the leaders' flashlights and me and my friends' flashlights, so we could show where we saw the rocks. Eventually, we heard rustling up on the bank as if something was brushing through the trees. I shone my flashlight accordingly to where the sounds were coming from, and I really wish I hadn't. The white beam illuminated a black humanoid figure. It looked so impossibly tall, at least 7 feet tall, that I struggled to identify it. I stood frozen to the spot with the figure illuminated in my beam. However, it was facing away from me, its head pointing in the direction of the other kids. In fact, it was staring just to the edge of the crowd, where my best friend Lily stood, completely oblivious to the figure. It would be an understatement to say my heart leapt into my throat. The figure moved. It took a step forward, down the bank, then another. After this, everything happened in the heat of the moment, and it was all a blur of flashlights and shouting. I sprinted towards Lily, telling her to get back to the main building as fast as she could. Luckily, the leaders had seen the man when I did, and they shouted at the man to leave and that they're calling the police. The figure, now lit up completely by several beams of light, revealed an immensely tall, pale man, looking about 35 years old. He turned and sprinted back up the bank through the trees to whatever lay on the other side, mainly hills. I ran back to the main hall to find Lily sitting down in the dining room. She looked so visibly shaken up, and in truth, so was I. I sat and calmed her down, and after about a half an hour, she was okay. The rest of the camp was okay, but I could see that the incident had hurt the atmosphere. To this day, I still wonder what the man had wanted with her and what would have happened if I didn't intervene. This whole story is entirely true, and I'm also in Boy Scouts, and I have a lot more creepy stories from campouts I have been on with my group. Thanks for reading my story.
I'm a bow hunter and I still like to hunt, which is when you dress in full camo and walk through the woods rather than sit at a tree stand. Last October, I was coming down a hill into a marshy area. It was kinda late and enough so that the side of the mountain was covered in shadows. I live in Pennsylvania where our mountains are completely covered in trees and it gets dark fast. When I get to the bottom of the hill, I notice that it was completely silent. No sounds at all, and I felt the hairs stand on my arms. But I've been creeped out before in the woods, so it wasn't too big of a deal. I kept on. I've been hunting in this general area before, but I've never gone down this hill. I continued creeping through the woods. Mind you, I am walking very slow, so you can barely hear my footsteps because deer are hard to sneak up on. And then I hear a voice call out for me from behind a thicket of small trees.
"Help! John, come over here. I'm in trouble. Help!"
And I swear to God it was my brother's voice. But my brother lives in Nevada, so it couldn't be my brother, and it said my name. It only took me a second to realize something wasn't right, and when I did, I ran faster than I ever have in my life. Only my dad knew where I was hunting that day, and the area is so huge no one would have found me there, and he's too old to have played any tricks on me. But something out there knew my name. And it sounded just like my brother. I don't know what the hell that was, but I don't think I'll ever be going back to the woods again. Maybe I'll move to the desert with my brother, where at least I can see everything around me. It's been quite a while since I've been out in the woods myself. And after those stories, I can see it's gonna stay that way. A huge thanks to our story contributors for sharing with us. Dead, Dead, and Deddy, Bappo the Mighty, and our third contributor would prefer to remain anonymous. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to leave a review and share us with your friends. It helps us grow, and I greatly appreciate it. Also, feel free to stalk me on social media and send your stories to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. Until next time, stay safe.